Once, in a land of darkness, a podcast existed that cast forth an aura of happiness and bliss. Every week, the knights of the Kingdom of Geekery would meet and forge paths through the worlds of technology, photography, movies, games, and whatever else struck their fancy. But the bliss would only last so long. Usually Dave and Adam were left abandoned and forlorn upon the podcast fields by their glory-seeking comrade, Jason. However, as time went on, the hearts of the three began to glow like a flaming hot ember of the winter fire, and alas, like a great phoenix rising from the ashes, the three were united in purpose and song, bringing forth the light once more. This is the renewal of the now bi-weekly Digital Soup podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
All right, and welcome back, everyone, to Digital Soup, the only podcast that will not let any audio issues stop the show. Nothing can stop this show. Not audio issues, not death, not anything.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe death, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. Audio issues almost did it, so.
We are a self-professed tech show. Yet it took us, our three collaborative minds, about 45 minutes to try to figure out what our audio issues were. We still haven't resolved it, but we did a workaround.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's just crazy. And right now, the culprit, Chrome. Chrome, you know what? If Cast didn't need Chrome, Chrome would be bye-bye. We would be using Microsoft Edge.
Yeah.
Or Firefox.
Which, by the way, Microsoft Edge is going to be built on Chrome anyway. So.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Ooh, you know, what is, Netscape Navigator. That's what I'm using.
Yeah.
Screw it. Man. Let's just go start using Skype or Zoom. Ew. Like everyone else and just call Jeez. It good enough, right?
Get the garbage audio.
Yeah. And dear listeners, we care so much about your listening pleasure that we would never do that to you. We are recording local copies right now on each of our computers. Then we'll upload them. Well, they'll send them over to me, I should say, for editing. And then I'll put them together seamlessly because we want you to have a good show. We don't want to have one or two people sounding like this. And then one person's
actually, you should probably do that to Dave's track.
Yeah, you probably would, jerk faces.
Yeah, so we could try to, you know, get a word in edgewise. I mean, we just came back last week and what, 77%, I think we figured out was Dave. Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
but 70. It was the Dave show with Adam and Jason, just, you know, like sitting over in the corner, giving that Ed McMahon laugh every once in a while. Like,
well,
hey-o.
Yes,
that's really how it should be, I think.
All right. Well, while Dave's head decompresses here,
right.
I just want to say my name is Jason, and joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. What is up, guys?
Oh, man. Well, my name's Jason.
Is it?
And joining me as always in the studio is Dave and usually Adam.
Okay, yeah. Now you got to do a variant of that, Dave. Let's go.
Well, I'm Jason. And I don't know what he was talking about. I'm cracking the clown.
Hey, I'm Jason. This is my real voice.
Hey, I'm Dave. Everybody check out ASC Pod at ASCpod.com.
And at on social media.
Jason, please put like the bleep that out. It'll be hilarious.
So let me ask you guys this. Something came up this week, and I just need your take on it. So did you guys see the story about Subway?
No.
I did see something earlier, but I didn't actually click into it. So I don't know what's going on. Wasn't it a celebrity in Subway or something?
No. And so here's the thing. You go to Subway, you're going to get a nice healthy sub, right? A lot of people will opt for a nice, simple tuna fish sandwich sub. You know, tuna sub.
Oh, I love
sub.
The BLT, but go ahead.
Right? Okay. So Subway recently...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. So this company, and I don't have it in front of me, but Subway describes their tuna sandwich as freshly baked bread, layered with flaked tuna, blended with creamy mayo, topped with blah, blah, blah.
Ooh, that doesn't sound very appealing.
Whatever it is. I didn't want to read the whole thing. This isn't a Subway ad, for crying out loud. But apparently there is a lawsuit that's being brought by... I can't remember who is suing the chain. I'm looking for it now. But they're saying that they tested the tuna fish at Subway. And what they claim is that the tuna fish is made from anything but tuna.
What?
It's a mixture. They said it's a mixture of various concoctions that do not constitute tuna. Yet have been blended together by the defendants, Subway, to imitate the appearance of tuna. In fact, they say...
it looks just like tuna.
The attorneys for the plaintiff declined to say exactly what the ingredients are that the lab test revealed. They said, though, here's the quote, "We found that the ingredients were not tuna and were not fish."
What?
Yeah. So...
have they come back, though, and proven that it was and this was just a... Or am I not thinking correctly?
Well, not as far as I'm seeing in this article here. It hasn't been updated, at least. I'm looking at an article. It's the Washington Post is where it had it, but it was all over multiple news sources.
Mm. Well, Subway says that these baseless accusations threaten mm-hmm. to damage their franchise.
Well, certainly I would think
baseless.
So.
How do you yeah. duplicate the... Why would you duplicate or put effort into duplicating the flavor of tuna when you could just get tuna?
But see, no. What you're failing to realize here, though, Adam, is that tuna is a very expensive fish. This is a fish that can only be harvested once every millennium.
Well, that's, so, come on.
And there's just the one.
No, yes. But they
and they
got to
spread it along all of the cans of tuna that you get, plus any restaurants that are serving tuna.
And all the cat food. They do claim
that's real tuna and cat food, though.
Yeah, that's the real stuff. They do claim that it is a premium sandwich there, which I don't know if I'd agree with that. But
so I want to know what's actually in it then. And how do you analyze whether or not something is tuna or not? Are there certain indicators, molecular indicators of tuna?
Well, I'm sure there is. I mean, if you take it to a lab would have to do some type of genetic testing on it. But they could tell if it's actually been... if it's like a real protein, meat protein,
right.
Blah, 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 if it has those signatures or if it's just made from Ritz crackers.
Yeah.
Well, this Who is knows? What I want to know. How did they actually test it?
Yeah.
They had the samples analyzed, it says.
Yeah, does it break it down in the article there, Dave?
It doesn't really. I've been kind of scrolling through. It doesn't really say. It just said a lab tested it, but.
Or did they take it home? They give it to their grandmother like, that ain't tuna. And then, yeah. You know what?
That's not
Grandma's
my
right.
tuna. That's not the same tuna I am.
I just have a hard time believing that this isn't tuna.
That's crazy, though.
Well, I think it's going to come out that it really is tuna.
Yeah, but why would they? And here's the thing. Two plaintiffs are identified in the complaint. A Karen Denoa.
Oh, D-H. Karen. Excuse me. Yeah. Can I speak to the manager? Because yeah. This is not tuna.
Of course it's a Karen. And then another name, yep. Nilima Amin. Both residents of Alameda County in the Bay Area. So, you know, who knows? It sounds like this is just a smaller thing, but they did file this trying to get a class action suit, which would open up the case of thousands of Subway customers in California that purchased tuna sandwiches and wraps after January 21st, 2017. So you can jump in on that class action lawsuit and get that sweet tuna money.
I would love to see the actual results from this lab because it's according to these articles, it's like, there's not even fish protein.
Yeah.
Wow.
So is this like Soylent Green?
I don't know. But you know, here's...
is this made of people?
Do you believe this, though? This representative of Subway, they're saying, you know, like they're like you said earlier, they're denying it. These baseless claims are without merit. And they're also claiming that the tuna sold at Subway, it's not only actually tuna, but they don't even use farm tuna, like raised tuna. They're catching wild caught tuna is what they're saying. Now, I don't know if I believe that. They got people out on boats.
The largest franchise there is?
Right.
Come on. First Jared Fogle, now this.
Yeah, Subway is just ruined. Let's go to Jimmy John's. So what are we going to dub this?
They're expensive.
Well, tuna gate? That's what I was going to say. We need a big gate name for this. Is it Sandwich Gate or...
Yeah, this is tuna the story gate that is. 2021 needs.
Tuna gate is something.
If it is people? Subway, eat flesh.
That would be brilliant.
That's for the zombies out there.
Yep. That's awesome. You should actually do that. Make a meme. That'd be hilarious. It'll probably go viral, dude.
We need to do it. Let's work something off.
not tuna, not fish. What the heck is it? I can't wait to find out what happens with Tuna Gate. This is great.
Right? Tuna Gate.
You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
Dead jokes. Any other
cool, weird news? That was a good one.
I had a couple things just that I've been up to, but what have you guys been doing? You seen anything fun this week? Or?
Sure. I watched the latest WandaVision yesterday.
Mm.
It's great.
Yes. So you're all caught up, all four of them, correct?
All caught up on that. Finished Alice in Borderlands on Netflix.
I finished that up yesterday, too.
Mm. Nice.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second.
Well, don't spoil too much of Alice in Borderlands. I'm only on the first or second episode.
What do you mean with most shows?
Well, I've been trying, I've been doing a lot of stuff.
Okay, let's go back to WandaVision. We'll give Dave another week. Or 2 weeks, because we record every 2 weeks.
We'll try.
In the way of my tuna research.
So WandaVision. All right. I think we're all in
there's going to be a weird delay in this podcast.
Hopefully not.
I don't know. It just sounds like there's a delay. Anyway, WandaVision. Sorry, everybody.
Okay. So WandaVision, we've all discussed this off the show, and I think we all kind of agree that there's the first couple episodes is a kind of a slow burn, which I had brought up the point that I'm kind of worried that the standard action Marvel fan will not give it enough time to develop, because the first two episodes are really slow. And I mean, there's a little curiosity in each of the episodes, but basically, and what we all loved about it, I'm sure, is it's like the first one's like a 1950s sitcom. The second one is a 1960s sitcom, and then the third's a 1970s sitcom, and then by the fourth episode, you find out what's all going on. But those first two, I just stress, everybody needs to be dedicated in watching these. Do not think that the entire show is going to be like these first three episodes, basically,
right?
Because it totally goes where you want it to go in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back at those first three episodes, aren't they amazing how they captured the style of those decade shows?
Yeah, they did it spot on.
Yeah, and they even slept in the 50s episode. They slept in separate beds. That was awesome. I mean, that's an homage to what they used to do in those shows.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like I Love Lucy, they had separate beds. Yep.
It's been good.
Did you know Lucille Ball was responsible for Star Trek?
Mm.
Why? I thought it was Roddenberry, but I must be way wrong.
Well, Roddenberry wrote it, but she was like she was the owner and chief of the studios that like was responsible for approving it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's like without Lucille Ball, there wouldn't have been a Star Trek.
That would be sad because I've really enjoyed my track.
Yeah.
Track.
Anyway, sorry to derail there off of WandaVision.
Like you always do. But WandaVision. So let's start with Dave.
Like we always do about this time.
Exactly. Dave, so what did you think? First four episodes in the can. What's your overall take on the first four?
Oh, I loved it. I've been kind of posting a little bit here and there over on Instagram. And the first episode, I was very much like, okay, I'll stick with it because it's the MCU. But I was very, I don't know.
It's like, what's going on?
Yeah. And by the time I watched the second episode, it wasn't even so much what's going on. It was more of a, okay, what's the point of this? You know, why? What are we doing here? And waiting for it to kind of get going somewhere, for lack of a better term. By the second episode, I thought, okay, I'm in. This is fun. It's unique. It's interesting. And then it only gets better from there, really.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time that third episode hits and you start seeing, especially by the end, you know, when stuff happens, I don't know how much do we want to spoil this for anyone, or is it too soon, or should we just say, screw it?
Spoiler.
Yeah, just spoil everything.
Okay, so by the time you get towards the end and, you know, we see that this pregnancy is happening in, like, massively sped up time frames, and her powers are manifesting, and Vision's starting to notice stuff weird with the neighbors. And then at the end, when we get the woman ejected out of reality, it's like, okay, now this
Rambo, by the way.
Right. That's the little girl from Captain Marvel, the daughter that she gives her jacket to.
Okay. Adam, I said Rambo. Can we please get a little Stallone?
You want a war?
Wow, that was really bad.
You want a war? I'm your worst nightmare.
There you go.
that kind of sounded like Arnold and Stallone had a baby.
That's true. That, well, you never
what's
know.
Up with this? Hey.
So
you want a war?
Did you want a war?
Is that, you want a Walmart war?
But that's where it really kicked in. And I know I'd seen some, I've been trying to avoid any spoilers, but I did see some interviews and stuff with what's her name, Elizabeth Olsen, who plays Wanda. And even she said, you know, the first 2 to 3 episodes is a slow burn start. By the time you get to the fourth episode, it is full on.
Yeah.
You know, and now you think, I think looking forward, it's going to be just action packed the whole way through.
Is it just me, or is Elizabeth Olsen fantastic looking in all these?
I think she's better looking in this than she was in actually Avengers.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah, she looks great.
I don't know why, but she just, she's more human where it, you know, she's, yeah, superhero and everything in the other, but you see her more as a regular person, even though she has a little bit of powers. But you
with no and Russian she's able, accent.
Well, another thing about it is she can act more. I mean, she has a better, she has more opportunity to actually, you know, be an actress here.
Speaking of her acting, you know, that turn when she ejects the younger Monica Rambeau as the daughter, I think, right? Mm-hmm. In the third episode. And then we see it replayed in the fourth when she ejects her and Vision comes in and is like, where'd she go? And she goes, oh, she just had to head home. When she makes that shift from what's going on here, I'm happy 60s, you know, housewife having a baby, to why did you say Ultron's name? You know, the Martha moment where she makes that, she makes that switch. Yeah. And it's just like, whoa, that gets crazy. I mean, you can see she's getting a lot more room to play.
She gets dangerous. She gets a little Darkwing Duck.
Yeah. Did you notice our FBI agent in, you know, the fourth episode, when he flips out his card in the beginning? Yep. Did you notice that was a nice callback to Ant-Man?
Oh yeah.
No. Oh no, I didn't actually.
Yeah, he was the FBI agent that was responsible for trying to track Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Scott.
And so in Ant-Man, Scott does a card trick and he flips this card out just like that. And that FBI agent comes back, the same guy, and he's like,
oh, I see.
Seriously, man, you gotta teach me how to do that.
You
gotta
show me that. No, I remember that now. No,
yeah, yeah. It's just a,
I thought you just meant in general, cool. Like, hey, that was the guy.
No. Yeah, just super cool. There's been a lot of little Easter eggs like that, kind of calling back previous, you know, stuff from the movies, which is really cool.
Now, you're forgetting the absolute best thing about episode 4. You know what it is?
No.
Where she has that weird flash of Vision being dead?
No.
That was awesome.
Yeah. But no, Max Denning.
Max Denning? You mean Kat Dennings?
Is that her name?
Kat Denning.
Kat Denning. She played Max on Two Broke Girls. Never mind. Yeah, so, yeah,
I was
Kat,
like, I saw you post that earlier in our Discord. Max Denning. And I was like, what is he talking about? I'm not going to ask. I hadn't watched it yet. And
yeah. Who was it that Jason got confused before? It was like Carl Weathers and who played Lando?
Oh, it was Carl Weathers, and then I said Ross Perot.
Who does play Lando? It's Billy
English.
Billy D. Williams.
Billy D. Williams.
Yeah. I said Billy English, and I meant Billy Eilish.
Oh, my gosh. Billy. Okay, Jason needs to stop.
I've already drank a couple Diet Dr. Peppers.
You know, so. Max Dennings from down the road. And now she's a doctor. Which is I'll struggle to believe it.
Now is she going to be in Thor Love and Thunder?
I believe so.
She is? Okay.
Probably. She should be there. She's a fun character, I think.
And she's the kind of the right hand of what's her name? Natalie Portman's character. I can't think of her character's name, but
Lady Thor.
No, well, she will be. Yeah.
She'll be Mighty Thor.
I'm interested to see how in the world they pull off little Natalie Portman as Mighty Thor.
Well, she's
maybe
been bulking
she'll get
up.
Some biceps or something. I don't know. CGI.
What if they put her in, like, you know, like those fat suits they put Mike Myers in for Austin Powers? But what if they just did a muscle, like total Schwarzenegger muscle suit for Natalie Portman?
That's a callback to Bill and Ted Face the Music. They'll just beef them up like them.
Yes.
They'll put a beard on her.
appeared.
No, but they did say this movie or this show, WandaVision, is going to tie directly into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And so,
I can't wait for that. Dave waited 4 years after that movie was released before he finally watched it. Everybody knows.
I haven't watched it.
Haven't watched Doctor Strange?
Took him a couple of years before he did watch it. Literally.
It did, yeah. I knew what the story was and I'd seen everything else, and mm-hmm. it wasn't one I got to in the theaters. So
that was good though.
But I've watched it since. Oh, it's good. Yeah, very good. And I'm excited.
I've seen it several times.
I'm excited for the Multiverse of Madness. But see, that's where it gets crazy, because Scarlet Witch, she gets some real she might be the most powerful hero in all of the MCU.
That's what they were saying with the battle with Thanos. Yeah. That she could have ripped him completely apart there before he sent all the missiles down to Earth.
Yep. Yeah. And she's never fully unleashed everything, you know, and that's what we're seeing here, is that she's created this entire reality and doesn't really realize it at first. And now she's kind of understanding, I think, and she's made an entire reality. Mm-hmm. And this is a big storyline in the comics too, but it's pretty fun.
I actually kind of liked, the little nod to her brother when she talked about her brother.
Yeah. The Martha moment. Why did you mention
Ultron? Well, in a multiverse, you think they'll bring him back?
Maybe. But see, there's been a lot of talk. That's where we're going to first meet either the Fantastic Four or the X-Men, through some kind of multiverse shenanigans of some sort.
You know, out of the two, I really hope they introduce the X-Men first, because I don't have a love for the Fantastic Four.
But I'll tell you what.
It's because of the movies that they've already done, just haven't been at the same caliber as X-Men. But I'd rather mm-hmm. see some really good new X-Men.
Well, I agree with that. I've always been a bigger fan of the X-Men. But I think we could get a brief cameo and introduction to mutants, maybe early on in one of the next couple films. However, I think what we're going to see as the main storyline is the Fantastic Four being brought in.
Just because of the space issue?
Yep, because they're going all in on the Eternals and, you know, all of these other things like that, you know, the space-themed Guardians, and Thor is going to take place in space. And
yeah, so the Guardians might come across the Fantastic Four, huh, out in space?
Well, maybe, but there's a lot of thought that the Fantastic Four, you know, what they might end up doing is having it be where they were sent out to investigate something as researchers pre-getting their powers. And might have been out in space when the time travel stuff happened and Thanos and all that stuff happened. And essentially that was part of what created them, potentially. Or something in this multiverse movie getting crossed over. But a lot of good stuff. We have Winter Soldier. What is it? Falcon and the Winter Soldier is coming in what, March?
I don't even know. Is it coming streaming, I'm assuming?
Disney Plus. Yep. It's a series, TV series like WandaVision. So
just since we've been talking about, you know, the Marvel Universe and everything mm-hmm. in WandaVision, that was also kind of cool when you saw the reverse snap in WandaVision.
Yes.
And people were just coming back. That was actually pretty cool.
That took me a few seconds to realize what they were doing. Like, because it looked different, you know, of course, than them getting dissolved. I was like, is she like remembering something or what is
right.
going on? Oh,
right.
The reverse snap. You could thank the Hulk for that.
I thought it was brilliantly done, because we haven't seen much of that.
I just need to point out, a reverse snap is just a pans.
What?
Pans.
Pans?
Yeah, that's a reverse snap.
I don't get it, honestly. I'm a dullard.
If you spell snap backwards, it's pans.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Why don't you go back and listen to some more Billy English?
Yep. Gotta love me some Billy English.
You gotta love it. Since we're talking about movies right now, I know we've been talking about Marvel.
Marvel.
Hey, you guys know my cousin Marvel.
We're back in perfect form.
Marvel.
What do you guys think about? We talk about a little DC.
Sure. You talking all Suicide right. Squad?
No, I'm not talking about Suicide Squad, because
Snyder Cut.
Yes, I'm talking about Snyder Cut. Who is excited to actually see this? What is it? It's like early February.
I don't know.
March. It's going to be hitting HBO Max in March. Honestly, I'm going to check it out. I'll watch it.
At first, I was like, "This. How can they make this much different?" And then I saw the running time of 4 hours, and I went, "Oh, that's how they're going to make it different. It's going to be a completely different story, basically."
Yeah.
Well, it is a lot there. It's so different from what I've read about it. There was so much on the cutting floor because once Snyder had to leave because of his daughter, and then what was it, JJ? Yeah, yep. JJ. JJ came in.
No.
Wasn't it JJ?
It was the other guy that did Buffy.
Yeah, the other guy, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer guy. Yeah, that's right. When
Buffy,
he came in.
Bonfire Slayer?
Yeah, the Bonfire Slayer. Did reshoot and recut. Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin is the man.
Josh Whedon.
Joss Whedon.
Oh, yeah. Joss Whedon. Yeah, yeah.
Josh Brolin was Thanos. That's right.
Yes. He did do, he did massive reshoots and restructuring of the movie. And even the stars have come out over the years and said that the movie is completely different from its original Snyder vision.
Right.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, there's so much hype over this. Like, I really hope that it's really good.
But here's the thing. They've already said that this isn't, because it was on the cutting room floor. Oh my gosh. Because it was.
He's like Will Ferrell in, what movie was it when he gets shot with a tranquilizer?
Yes. It was the date movie or something.
Wedding Crashers, I think?
You know what? I could be having a stroke here and you're laughing.
Mm-hmm. Turn your webcam on and let's look at your face. Make sure nothing's shaking. Yeah.
Now, because it'll probably steal my microphone and then adjust the volume. I don't want to have to deal with that. What were we talking about before you guys made fun of me? It's not fully processed film. So you're going to have finalized, good-looking film, and then it's going to go more into the unfinished, probably no special effects in this area film, from what I've heard.
Well,
there's no way they're doing that.
I was initially, everything they said is we're going to let him patch together his cut since he didn't get to finish the film and piece it all together. And I was like, all right, I think it's stupid. Because I know it was a kind of tragic circumstance. He had to step away from it, but still, it's stupid. It's just the internet crying and getting their way. But, okay, fine, we get this. Then hearing that he went in and has been reshooting the crap out of this thing.
Oh, I didn't hear that at all. So he's been redoing
He's been adding new stuff. Yeah, tons of reshoots and all this stuff. He's basically, to me, he's basically taking all the stuff that, I'm guessing anyways, that people were complaining about in that first one. And he's going to try and do it differently in his vision and claim this is what he meant all along. And then try and say, see, my vision, my version was better. And it was 4 hours long. So there, I should have been hired, trying to make some statement. To me, it's a bunch of BS.
Yeah. I mean, going to that, I didn't know they were going to that extent. Mm-hmm. I thought they were just using his original early footage and putting that into it. So basically what he's trying to do is reboot the film, over again.
Well,
I mean,
in a way. The internet threw a crybaby fit. We want his version. We didn't like their version. So they got their way. The studio said okay. And then he decided, and I can't blame him. He said, look, this thing came out and was trashed. I don't want my name associated with that. I want to make sure people look at this and say, well, if he would have been able to finish it, it would have been a good movie. So he went in and has been reshooting it like crazy and basically getting a chance to just redo everything. It's like releasing it the first time and then, oh, they didn't like this, they didn't like that, and well, I'll change this and I'll do that and I'll do this instead. And it's a stupid thing, like beta testing a movie or something.
There's so much extra cost into this too, because I have heard for a new movie, Gal Gadot did grow a mustache, so they have to digitally remove her mustache.
There we go.
Oh boy.
Speaking of movies.
Speaking, that'd be the second gate scandal of this year. Mustache Gate and Tuna Gate.
Stash Gate, Tuna Gate.
A match made in heaven.
Tuna Gate.
What about King Kong versus Godzilla fighting it out gate?
Oh my gosh, I love that trailer.
I want to see this movie.
I love that.
I am stoked.
Bowser versus Donkey Kong looks awesome.
Yeah, that was funny that you put up there. Hey, Adam. I had to do some research here on this. Well, not much research, because there's headlines about it all over, so you just type it. But okay, so we all saw Skull Island.
Yep.
And it wasn't the greatest movie, but we know how big Kong was in that.
Yeah.
And now he's standing toe-to-toe with Godzilla.
Yeah, he's put on about 250 feet.
I didn't understand it because I didn't remember Skull Island that much. but there is actually a scene in there where a guy is saying to the whole group that King Kong is an adolescent. You should have seen his father or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that is why King Kong is so huge in this. He's full grown. He's actually kind of grayed a little bit. He's elderly even almost. Mm-hmm. But man, just there is no way. Okay, I don't know why Godzilla, who has been a good guy in the last few Godzilla movies, is now a bad guy. Although we did hear something about maybe something's controlling him. I don't know. But if you were just to take Godzilla against King Kong, King Kong would destroy him. They match in size. You have the strength of a gorilla, the intelligence of a gorilla, because they have man-like features, like that one scene where Godzilla shooting. And no, listen,
well, they're just Godzilla, as smart.
Yes, well, some are. You know, they can sign and everything. Hmm. I'm sure some they are smarter than some people. You got to admit that. You know what I'm saying? But that one scene where Godzilla is shooting out its fire breath or its laser. It looked like a laser breath, whatever you want to call it. And King Kong was catching it in some type of device, you know, as he was coming down, he was blocking it because, you know, he has opposable thumbs. He can grip stuff. He can use tools. Godzilla's dead in a real battle of King Kong versus Godzilla.
I kind of disagree because you saw the last thing where he went full on nuclear, right, and killed Ghidorah?
Gal Gadot?
No. the three-headed Hydra beast thing.
That's the form Gal Gadot takes when she grows the mustache.
Yes.
Yeah. Three heads.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, Godzilla's mighty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Mighty powerful. But yeah, Kong's different. And they're both pretty awesome. I can't wait to see what happens. Is it going to be like a Batman versus Superman where there's some other threat they both have to team up and take out?
Well, that's the meme, right?
Probably. It's probably going to happen.
You've seen the meme, right? There's going to be a moment in this movie when King Kong and Godzilla are fighting and one of them says their parents' name of Mothra. And the other one says, why did you say that name?
Why did you say that name?
Why did you say Mothra?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I live in meme world lately.
Yeah, that's all right.
You are. Now, that's not the only big movie that's coming out here. I just heard about this today, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, is this going to be any good? Is this going to hurt the franchise? But Indiana Jones 5.
Mm-hmm.
What? Well, we knew it was coming, but is there a trailer or anything, or what's the deal?
No, it's filming now, I guess. But here's the thing, and it's starring Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. They didn't pass it off. I think in the last one, they were kind of thinking about passing it off to that one dude. Well, who was he?
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, was it him? Oh, yeah, they can't do him because he's whack.
Spielberg's not directing it either.
Yeah, he was until last year, but then he stepped away from it, and I can't remember who the new director is. But here's the thing. Harrison Ford is the star of it. He's 80.
Yeah.
Yikes.
80. You can't have.
I'm Harrison Ford. I'm Indiana Jones.
He was old in Star Trek.
He tries to go and say.
Star Trek.
What? Star Trek.
Yeah, I remember when he fights the Nazis in Star Trek.
I do remember that.
No, he was when he was in Firefly, he was way old.
See, but he's so old now, he just doesn't give an F.
Right.
He's not afraid of snakes anymore, which is awesome. He's overcome that.
Dumbledore went to snake class.
We can't say that. That's speciesism.
Oh, okay.
Speciesism.
Anyway, no, back to reality. Yeah, he's very... very old.
Well, here's a quote from Harrison Ford about Indiana Jones. It says, no one else can play Indiana Jones apart from him. When I'm gone, he's gone. It's easy. Get it in your head. So apparently, in his mind, when he dies, Indy dies also. But
well, maybe they'll give him a daughter in this show, so then Indiana Jane takes over.
Oh, you mean Tomb Raider?
Does she have a different last name?
Oh, wait a second. That's his last name. Never mind. Oh, my gosh. I'm
she
having
keeps
a stroke.
The first name. Called the dog Indiana.
Yeah, yeah. I'm having some issues this evening. Maybe we should just erase this whole episode.
No, it's gold.
Or is it comedy gold?
I think we just leave it.
It's all good.
Am I seeing this right, that Brad Pitt is involved in this film?
Where do you see this? Really? I can't find anything here.
There's a link in the show notes, dude.
What show notes?
We don't look at show notes. No, I Googled Indiana Jones 5, I think you said. In the up top, Harrison Ford and Brad Pitt pop up. So I don't know if he's involved or what, but.
I didn't see anything in the articles I was reading.
The only cast, let's see, the only cast showing is Harrison Ford on IMDb, so I don't know. Might be just a rumor and his name's popping up for some dumb reason.
How about a mustachioed Gal Gadot? Is she in it?
I'd still watch it.
But really, if we think about it, if Gal Gadot grew a mustache, would we just start calling her Guy Gadot?
Do you guys actually have show notes?
No.
Yes.
I don't.
Okay.
I do. It's in the show notes folder, the Digital Suit Podcast folder, which you guys have both shared. It's episode 202.
Listen, I have no problem blabbing on for hours with no prep. So I didn't look at show notes.
I didn't look at it either. We're good.
You guys start the show accusing me of talking too much. So I didn't bother doing any research on anything. I figured maybe then I wouldn't talk so much.
Oh, by the way, it's not an accusation. It's a fact.
It's a fact-usation.
Yes. Well, allegedly.
Fact. Dave talks much.
Bears beats Gattlestar Galactica. Battlestar Galactica.
Can we just say it's audio issues for both of us here?
Yeah, you guys are wrong with the mic.
You're sure you're not both stroking out or something? Oh no. Not I didn't mean that.
This
Sorry.
Guy. Am I right, Adam?
So anyways, about Tuna Gate.
For starters, we're in different states.
Well. You don't say.
Well, my favorite part.
I don't know
fart...
what you guys mean.
My
favorite part.
My favorite part.
Your favorite part. Gosh. Is that the one you got after eating that BLT at Subway or whatever you
got? No, it's after I eat Mexican and it comes out really easy. Oh. And then I got to go do a wipe.
Dude.
It's a, you know, wow. it's a sneaker with a surprise.
Okay.
It's an Air Jordan.
It's one of those where you're like, you know, you just have to apologize to your wife. Actually, just throw them in the garbage.
Oh,
what, you never thrown your underwear in the garbage?
I don't want to talk about it.
The ones I wear still have holes. I've been wearing it for 14 years.
Dave takes his underwear off. It stands in the corner.
No, I wash them.
Gross. How did we get on this topic? Oh, because you have a favorite fart. That's right. Oh, Lordy.
Oh, that's
so
good
Raiders
to be
of
back.
The Lost Ark came out in 1981.
No, it came out in 2009, I think.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what was this? Battlestar?
The reboot.
Raiders of the Last
Ark.
I thought you said Battlestar Galactica.
That's what I thought you said, too. I thought you said the...
I think he did.
I thought you said the
I honestly the think he did.
Battlestar,
I said
yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. It probably sounded like I said Battlestar Galactica. But Raiders, go back to the tape on this.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Battlestar Galactica.
I might have been slurring my speech.
Battlestar.
Okay.
Battlestar?
Battlestar.
Yep, Battlestar.
Great.
Okay, hey. I know I told you guys about this earlier today, so you might as well share it with the listeners, right?
Okay.
So, I bought a new toy.
Does it take batteries?
It rechargeable.
Can you get? Remember that skit? Is it a toaster?
Is it bigger than a baby's arm? Is that what you're talking about?
No, the Adam Sandler skit where he's like, is it bigger than a toaster? Yes. Can I it? I can't say
no,
the word.
Really.
I don't remember that, no.
You don't remember that skit?
No. I remember the Saturday Night Live skit where, you know, the beatnik or whatever was, he had like a pawn shop or whatever, and he was showing his little trinkets, and he goes, oh, this was, you know, made in 1622 by a blah, blah, peasant, you know, for the king, blah, blah, blah. And you can put your weed in it.
Yeah, this is a skit called Sid and Alex off of the Adam Sandler album, Shh, Don't Tell.
Oh, yeah, I think I do. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Saturday Night Live. No.
This is explicit. Yeah,
it's a comedy album.
Yeah, yep. Comedy album. The track is called Sid and Alex. You can listen to it.
All right, let's play it right now.
Let's not. Anyways, you got a new toy.
Yes. Well, not yet. It's in route.
Okay.
Everybody knows, you know, that I am a big retro gaming fan. And, well, actually, all three of us are. We all enjoy classic gaming. But the Odroid Go Super was just released last month. This is the update to the Odroid Go Advance. And the Advance was just like a lot of the other ones. It just had the 3.5-inch screen, just like my Ambernic. Oh, wait, Dave, say Ambernic for me.
Ambernic.
There you go. It's just like that with a 3.5-inch screen, but this new one has a 5-inch screen. So it's almost as big as the Switch Lite. And what's amazing is online, somebody put the Switch Lite in this, you know, right, you know, next to each other. They're almost identical. Everything is in the same spot. The analog sticks are in the same spot, and there are two. So you can play a little bit of Dave's favorite game, Ape Escape, from the PS1 era, where you needed one to move and then the other one to swing your little net to catch the monkeys. Oh. Okay. Because Dave's like, I love catching me some monkeys. That's what he's always said.
Sure.
But anyway, it's more powerful than my Ambernic RG350P. It has a 4-core. It's still only a 4-core processor in there, but it's a more powerful ROC CPU 4-core processor. Only 1 gig of RAM. I don't have all the specs in front of me, so I'm just going by memory. But in the ETA Prime did a little thing on it again. I know I mentioned ETA Prime in the last episode. I love this guy for retro game, and he covers all the hardware. But it's playing Dreamcast great. It's playing PSP great, except for a couple games. The God of War. Yeah, the God of War Battle for Olympus, I think, is what it was called. That one, that's so hard to emulate, except on like a PC. You could do it on a PC pretty easy, but on these system on a chips, you know, like the Raspberry Pi, etc. You need a lot of horsepower to play those games. But they were playing all those, and PS1 is perfect. And I know Dave has been wanting a PS1 system, so I mean, this little system is perfect for Dave. You get this, and you can play PS1, Dreamcast, and stuff all the way down.
Yeah,
they were also playing DS, which was pretty cool because it is the larger widescreen. So they actually split it right in half, and you had the top screen on the left-hand side and the bottom screen on the right-hand side. So it was pretty cool. I can't wait to get it and try it out. And they're only $89. They're pretty dang cheap.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If it runs well once you get it in our you know, testing it out with all these different things, I definitely am thinking that might be the way to go because A, it's handheld. You can take it with you anywhere, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love my RetroPie. Yeah, exactly. I love my RetroPie, but it's still, like we talked about before many times with gaming, it's hard to find time to sit down at a TV or at a computer to sit and play. And so having a system I could take with me anywhere, play on lunch breaks, play here, play there, you know, whatever. That'd be awesome.
In bed, it's fun to just lay in bed and play.
Well, yeah, a lot of times with the Switch, I'll do that and I'll just throw headphones in or play with no sound, depending on what game I'm playing. Just leave the volume down.
Mm-hmm. And especially if it's Leisure Suit Larry, you have to put the headphones on so nobody can hear.
Yeah, no, I don't need to play that. But the cool thing though, like you said, is we were talking a little bit earlier today, and you could probably set yourself up and have basically all of your core systems from the NES right up through, you know, Dreamcast, depending on what you want, and have everything right there, or just swap out cards, whatever you want to do. And I think that would
just
be
one card would be the best way to go.
Then right.
Just have everything. Oh, and I forgot the best thing about this. So the RG 350P by Ambernic runs on its own interface, which isn't very good. I mean, it was a pretty bad interface. I did upgrade that to Simple Menu, which allows you to have like some game art and stuff like that, but it's still not that good. What's awesome about this, and I don't think I even told Dave about this when we were talking about it earlier, it runs on Emulation Station. the same thing you have on your Raspberry Pi is on this. And you know how beautiful that interface is.
Beautiful.
It is. I mean, I just look at it and drool. It is gorgeous.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I am curious to see once you get it, how it performs, because for $89, that's a super inexpensive way to get a pretty awesome handheld system.
And the only thing you have to do is buy the SD card, but those are cheap now. Mm-hmm. You can get for $25 is a 256 gig, which would like do everything. I think it'll hold all your games. That's what I have in my Embernic, and I'm not even close to filling it up. I don't even think a quarter filled, just because I haven't bothered to put everything on it. Again, because the screen is 3.5 inches. I enjoy the system, but it's kind of small for me. I mean, I got the eyeball issue, as we talked about last episode, and then Adam was making fun of my eyeballs, which is not very cool.
He was saying that last line, how hard was it to not spit out the office line?
Which one?
Which one?
That's what she said.
Oh. I didn't even catch it. That's how bad it is.
I can't help it.
I was busy staring at my screen because I didn't, maybe I saw it before, but I didn't realize it, that there is going to be a reprisal of the Willow movie.
Oh, yeah. So
it's going to be a series on Disney Plus. Yeah, it's awesome.
I think it's a continuation, isn't it? It's not a retelling of that same story, if I recall.
Right, because it's got Warwick Davis as like in his role. So yeah, who knows what they're going to do with it. I hope it's awesome, because I liked Willow. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
Did we
you
do that?
Are great.
Did we do that at one point for a super review? Yeah, we did, right?
We sure did. We did.
I thought we did.
Willow.
Hopefully they bring back Masters of the Universe, because that movie was the best.
That was the best movie.
This is something I was going to bring up for with you guys, because one of the things I've been doing lately is just a ton of reading. And this book I got for Christmas, it's put out by the Den of Geek company. It's just called Movie Geek. Technically, the Den of Geek Guide to the Movieverse.
Podcast name?
Movie Geek. No.
Can we steal that?
No, probably not. But they talk about it's really, how do I put this? It's kind of like a good bathroom reader where they have
toilet reader. Yep.
Yeah, chapters that are a page or two long, and they all tackle different stuff.
That's short chapters.
Yeah, but it's full of just a lot of, you know, awesome movie trivia type, you know, random factoids and stuff. And there's just one chapter that talks all about how He-Man and a Spider-Man movie actually turned into the Jean-Claude Van Damme film Cyborg, if you remember that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they were looking to film, I guess, I don't have the full thing right in front of me, but they were looking to film a sequel to He-Man that sucked, that we did the super review of, and then some sort of Spider-Man movie, and the people behind it had no clue what they were doing. And after spending all this money making costumes and sets, all the studios pulled out, everything pulled out, and they instead took a lot of the props and a lot of the costumes and everything else and reworked it into this Van Damme movie. So it's kind of interesting. Awesome. It's a cool book with lots of fun stuff. It's a little dated. I think it came out like 2015, somewhere in there. So, you know,
not that bad. That's only 6 years.
Not too bad. But some of the stuff that, you know, every now and then they'll talk about like the biggest movies up to date or whatever, and they haven't got to, you know, obviously Endgame took, you know, things like that. But it's a cool book.
Thinking about just what you're talking about there, for some reason, I guess because you said Van Damme, that's the whole reason why. I saw, I can't even remember where I seen it. It was somewhere online they were talking about it, and I never even thought about how idiotic it is. So, you know, there was this game called Street Fighter, correct?
Yep.
All right. It's a big, you know, big series of games, you know, with Street Fighter 2 having, you know, been going for like two decades, and Street Fighter 2, like 50 iterations of the same game. But anyways, so it got so popular, they made a movie, Street Fighter the Movie.
Yep.
And then they released a new video game called Street Fighter the Movie, the Video Game.
The arcade game, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotten into a loop.
Yeah, and I never thought about how at first I thought it was just cool because you actually had Jean-Claude Van Damme and whoever
Jean Van Damme. I love that guy.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You got to short it down a little bit.
You guys know Jean-Van.
But that movie, the original Street Fighter movie, they've made some remakes, I think, and they're actually, I thought I saw, were they working on possibly making a new version of it too, potentially?
No, but Mortal Kombat is filming right now. Oh. The new
that's
bloody
what it was.
Rated R Mortal Kombat, yes, which is going to be amazing.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. But Adam, it's rated R. There was actually a scene you could look at of Sub-Zero, which I didn't. I just saw it today. It popped up in my news feed, but I was at work, so I didn't click on it because, you know, I'm a hardworking dude. But I need to remember to click on that and watch it. But I guess there's a Sub-Zero scene that you can watch right now. But yeah, it is rated R. It is going to be bloody as heck.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for the movie.
Yep.
Sweet.
But that initial film, though, it had a huge cast.
Street Fighter.
Yeah. You had Van Damme playing Guile, Raul Julia, who was a big star at the time, playing M. Bison. Our favorite, one of the favorites from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Mandalorian, Ming-Na Wen, played Chun-Li. Kylie Minogue played Cammy. And then there's a bunch of other people that you'll recognize, some of them, but maybe not all
Who
of them.
Who played Goro? Oh, wait, that wasn't that one.
That wasn't that one, no.
I mean, was Mortal Kombat, right?
Yeah. There was even, what's her name, Jerry from 7 of 9. I don't know her.
Jerry Ryan.
Yeah, but that's not her last name anymore. It's something else. Jerry Barchelon.
Oh, she got married? Oh, yeah. Man, my hopes are
She
dashed.
Was in this film. She had a small part playing Blanca's date. And so, I mean, even people like that were showing up in here, but it was interesting. There's a ton of actually quite a few big names that you'd recognize now if you look at that cast.
Can I point out here real fast? I know we talked about this last episode,
mm-hmm.
but as you know, the listeners now know this poor sap here. Yes, I've been enjoying Friends, going through Friends. I did not realize until we were watching it through this run how many celebrities guested on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Major, big celebrities over the years. And yep. It's funny when you see them because I remembered a couple of them, but then there just keeps more and more and more just kept popping up over the 10 seasons the show was on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently in the 9th season, so we'll see if you know how many more celebrities there are. But, man, I guess being one of the most popular shows on television during its run brought in those celebrities for little cameos.
It wouldn't be a bad series to rewatch, I think.
Yeah.
It is. It looks fantastic in 16:9, even though you do have the strangers on the side.
Yeah.
I did listen to that the entire episode today, and you guys making fun of me.
Yeah, you deserved it.
But because I couldn't get my words out. Now, I understand what you guys were talking about, but I was not considering them strangers because they were part of the staff. So they weren't strangers to the cast. They knew who was sitting across from them. It wasn't a stranger. But now I
all right.
That's what
that's
I was
a nice
trying to
reach
say.
You got there.
It's not a contract. It's
yeah, no kidding. They're right. Not strangers. It's not strangers is the new not a contract.
Right, right. So here's a list I found. I'm not going to go through all of them. I guess there's 66 of them, but
holy moly.
The that biggest guest stars you probably forgot were on Friends. Brad Pitt shows up in season 8.
He was hilarious, by the way.
Leah Remini, or Remini, however that's said, she shows up in a scene from season 1.
And she was thin. Okay, yep, keep going.
Charlie Sheen.
Jeez.
Charlie Sheen shows up as Phoebe's old flame. Danny DeVito played a stripper dressed as a cop.
Okay, I haven't seen that yet. Spoiler.
Susan Sarandon appears.
Yep.
And Allison Sweeney. Another Days of Our Lives star.
She was from Saturday Night Live, wasn't she?
No, she was on Days of Our Lives in the real life show, but she also was the co-host of the Biggest Loser TV show forever.
Dr. Drake Ramore was on it.
Yeah. Matthew Ashford, another Days of Our Lives star.
I don't remember.
Hugh Laurie, what was his show? Doc?
House.
But House.
But
yeah,
I'm trying to remember if I'd seen him yet.
Yeah, he was in season 4, it says.
Then I did see him, yes.
Helen Hunt was there.
Yep.
Reese Witherspoon was on multiple.
Yes.
Christina,
sister of Rachel.
Yeah, Christina Applegate.
Same thing. I think it was a sister of Rachel, right?
I'm not sure. Her name was Amy. Got into an argument with Rachel after saying that her daughter Emma wasn't cute. That's all it says. David Arquette played Phoebe's twin sister, Stalker.
Before you go any farther there, that was hilarious because the episode that must have aired shortly after Courtney Cox and David Arquette got married, during the credit, you know, the opening scene, So No One Told You Life, you know, the theme song, everybody had the last name of Arquette, not just Courtney Cox.
Oh.
it was actually kind of funny, but go ahead, start.
Who else? Winona Ryder, Anna Faris.
Anna Faris. What season? Because I don't remember seeing her.
She's going to show up a few times in season 10.
Oh, that's why.
Aisha Tyler.
Oh, okay.
Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah. We've just been doing a bunch of those right now because he's dating
in season
Phoebe, right?
Yep. Robin Williams and Billy Crystal.
Yep. They were in the same episode together. That's right.
Yep. And there's a small role where Phoebe tries to change her name to Princess Consuela Banana Hammock. She had to petition a clerk to change her name to that, who was the one and only Craig Robinson. Julia Roberts.
From The Office, right?
Yep. And Hot Tub Time Machine, all that. Julia Roberts, Dermot Mulroney, Jean-Claude Van Damme shows up, actually. Yep.
Yeah, they were hitting on him.
Van Damme.
See, Claude just takes too long to say. I just go Jean Van Damme.
Yeah, Sean Penn. There's some big stars. Gary Oldman.
Can't believe you've not said the biggest one that was in multiple seasons.
Well, I'm looking. Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
Ben Stiller.
Yes, he was the screamer.
Jane Lynch. I don't know who this is. Iqbal Thiba from Glee. I'm not sure who that is. Dakota Fanning.
I've never watched Glee, so. Yeah,
Dakota Fanning, George Clooney, and Noah Weil. Jason Alexander from Seinfeld.
Oh, did I see him yet? Yeah, I think I did.
Alec Baldwin, Selma Blair, Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've seen him yet.
Cole Sprouse from The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. Who else? Hermione Lodge, Marisol Nichols.
The big one.
I don't
multiple
know.
Multiple seasons.
I don't know.
Tom Selleck.
Oh, well, he might not have been on this list. That's one people will probably remember. This is a list of 66 famous guest stars that you probably forgot were on there.
Oh, and probably because he was in a dozen episodes over the few seasons. So
quite a bit.
More of a cast member than.
Yep. Denise Richards, Sarah Duchess of York, Richard Branson. Yeah. Marlo Thomas. There's a ton of people. Elle McPherson. Remember her?
I think it's hilarious because, you preface this by saying, I'm not going to go through all of them.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not even halfway through. Elle McPherson, will end with her because that gives me fond memories of a Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition cover, and that's a nice place to end.
Now, Elle McPherson, that was Joey's roommate, which is hilarious.
You don't remember her on the cover, the iconic cover. It was her and Kathy Ireland, and I forget who the other person was.
I don't.
Oh, my God. That
Mickey Rourke.
That was when the swimsuit edition really became a huge thing back in the mid to late 90s.
I looked at some, but I honestly could not tell you who any of them were, whoever was on the swimsuit issue. I couldn't tell you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just don't remember. I mean, I'm 50 this year. Come on now. Give me a break.
That's true. So old.
Yeah.
You know, you're so old. I really need to go to bed. So, you know, why don't you do your thing here, Adam?
What kind of thing are you talking about?
This was 1994, just in case you're wondering.
He's still going.
Right now there's 50 people are Googling it.
They called it the Dream Team. Oh, Kathy Ireland, Elle McPherson, and Rachel Hunter. I think I still have that issue somewhere.
I did just Google it just because I wanted the familiarity.
You've seen
I remember
that
one
cover.
Of my friends having that cover. Yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
I never owned a Sports Illustrated in my life. So
it's a nice,
well, it's because you don't like sports ball.
Wholesome memory.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if you guys want to continue the memories and the conversation, you can find us on Twitter @DigitalSoupcast. Or to really get geeky, head over to digitalsuitpodcast.com and jump into our growing community in the Hangout, where we're geeking out old school in our own forums that none of us have signed up for yet.
I'm in there.
Oh, are you? Okay, I haven't.
Dave's in there. Of course, Dave's done it once.
If you guys have a second to help out, we'd love it if you could leave us a review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure to let everyone know that the D-Soup is back and better than ever. Until then, stay geeky. Don't ever change unless it's for the better. Peace.
Take care, guys.
And I do not want any D soup. I'm telling you.
I'm so glad you said it.
Welcome to Tuna Gate.
Oh, no. I never even thought of it. You guys are perverts.
Yes, I'm going to have a tuna fish sandwich with some D soup.
While I read my Sports Illustrated cover from 1994.
Oh, no. I hope nobody listens to this. That's embarrassing. Yeah.
It's all staying in. All right. Later, Gators.